From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music and artists of this Kentucky region. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents a concert performance with George Moulton. Coming up on Red Barn Radio.
I'm a U-Haul, packed up. No more room in my pickup truck. When you see the dust, means I'm out of here. I've been a long time leaving. Nobody can say I ain't got no reason. Just disappear. Whoa, whoa, I need the road. Gotta get my life on cruise control. Gonna take myself and put me on a freeway. Gotta give my horn a little bit of leeway. A 1,000 billboard signs in at least 3 states. Tell the rear view all, leave it all behind. And drive around out of my mind. Maybe Arkansas, maybe Omaha, but it don't really matter at all. I'll make that call when I get there. For a new start, for a broken heart, really don't care just how far it's gonna take. Well, I'll go anywhere. Whoa, whoa, I need the road. Gotta get my life on cruise control. Gonna take myself and put me on a freeway. Gotta give my horn a little bit of leeway. 1,000 billboard signs in at least 3 states. Tell the rear view off, leave it all behind. And drive around out of my mind. Take myself and put me on a freeway. Gotta give my horn a little bit of leeway. 1,000 billboard signs in at least 3 states. Tell the rear view all, leave it all behind. And drive right out of my mind. Yeah, drive right out of my mind. Yeah, right out of my mind. Yeah, and drive around in my mind.
Give my heart a little bit of leeway.
Yeah, out of my mind.
Red Barn Radio was brought to you with the financial support of Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information, Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. Lex Arts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. We'd like to thank Chef Greg Scott and Broussard's Delta Kitchen for supplying food each week for our guests, artists, and volunteers. Located on Main Street in historic Georgetown, Kentucky, Broussard's Delta Kitchen features the authentic flavors of New Orleans and the Mississippi Delta, and live music every weekend. You'll find more information on Broussard's on Facebook. Listen locally. Working in concert to encourage everyone to embrace any opportunity to listen locally and engage with each other in a variety of shared experiences, including music, theater, poetry, dialogue, and conversation. You can learn more about Listen Locally on Facebook, Instagram, and at listenlocally.net. the Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is Red Barn Radio's guest accommodation partner, providing hotel accommodations for our musical guests. The Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is the ideal choice for your next visit to Lexington, Kentucky. AccuPrint provides printed programs each week for our audience members. For all your printing needs, AccuPrint is on the web at accuprint.us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Red Barn Radio. I'm Renee Collins. Red Barn Radio is now in our 17th broadcast season, and this is Red Barn Radio's 645th live concert performance. Tonight, we present George Moulton, a singer-songwriter from Olive Hill, Kentucky. Fellow Kentuckians John Michael Montgomery and Montgomery Gentry have recorded several songs that George has written. His music takes you back into a true country sound that seems to be slipping away as the country music industry grows. With George tonight is John McHugh, and we are very pleased to welcome George Moulton to the Red Barn stage.
Thought about calling you, saying I loved you, but I just hung up the phone. Tell you I missed you, how much I've needed you, I can't stand to be alone. And I wanna hold you, but my pride said no. My heart keeps on telling me it's time to let go. But where do I go? Ooh. After still on my mind, and I wanna hold you, but my pride said no. My heart keeps on telling me it's time.
Here's Red Barn Radio's Brad Becker to speak with George Moulton.
Thanks, Renee. And hello, George.
Hello.
Sure, I'm enjoying the music.
Well, thank you.
John?
Hello.
Lovely accompaniment over there.
Thank you.
How do you guys know each other?
Well,
it's not our fault.
Originally, we're first cousins.
Truly?
Truly. His mom and my dad are brother and sister. I've known him all his life. He's known me most of mine, but not quite all of it. And but for the last, what? I don't know.
I would say about 8 years.
for about the last 8 years, he's played guitar for me in my band.
How often do you get to perform with the band these
Well,
days?
When we were working steady, we were working just about every weekend. So
when was that?
Up until December 29th of last year.
Oh, okay.
We kind of took a little break, so.
On your calendar, do you typically take this chunk of time throughout the winter and whatnot to do other things and then get back to it?
We just worked and worked and worked for 8 years until we just looked at each other and said, you know what, I'm sick of it. Let's take some time off.
Yeah, I work down on the road, hammer nails all in a row. Well, I've worked on cars and I'm so thanks to all I need is this pickup truck, a little bit of love and a whole lot of love. Come Friday night, Lord, I know just what to do. Here we go, crowd screaming loud, bartender setting last call. Come on back tomorrow night, I'm sure we'll have a ball. I'm just an ordinary guy. Step inside this barn, then I'm a genuine certified honky-tonk till I die weekend superstar. Comes, well, it's back to the same old ground. Work hard all week for a little bitty check, then the government says ain't mine. When the whistle blows, I'll be on my toes, heading back to the barn, where I'm a genuine certified honky-tonk till I die weekend superstar. I hear a big old crowd screaming loud, bartender said last call. I'm just an ordinary guy all week long till I step inside this barn. Then I'm a genuine certified honky-tonk till I die weekend superstar. Yeah, well, I'm a genuine certified honky-tonk till I die weekend superstar.
You have a daughter.
I have a daughter and a son.
Oh, and a son. Okay. How old are your kids?
My daughter is 13 and my son is 6. I have a 8th grader and a kindergarten.
Ah.
Yeah. My 6-year-old boy, we adopted him. We've had him since he was 6 months old.
Ah.
But my daughter's went through a long 13 years and just really missing a lot of weekends and stuff like that with her. So she's really enjoyed the last, you know, few months with me being home just about every weekend. I've traveled some in my time, but I'm not a lot. You know, most of my stuff's been pretty local, so, you know, maybe a night or two I'm gone away from home, but most nights I'm there the next morning when they get up. I wish I was still sleeping when they get up the next morning, but you know,
right.
I don't get that luxury anymore.
Yeah. So you're originally from Moorhead or Olive Hill?
Olive Hill, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was born in Moorhead, but then we lived in Olive Hill, so I guess I got both things going.
Yeah, and what took your family to Olive Hill?
I have no idea. My grandparents on my dad's side lived in Round County, which is just outside of Moorhead. Mm-hmm. So that's where he was born. That's where he was raised. He worked at a grocery store. He managed a grocery store called Allen's IGA there in Olive Hill for 40-some years. That's where we lived. I did spend a big chunk of my childhood with my grandparents in Round County. They were back in time somewhat. There was no running water in the house. There was 2 stoves. They ran an old general store, you know, with just a community around it. There used to be, before the trains went out, when I was little, the trains still ran there. But there used to be a depot there, so it was a stop. So that store was there for all the people that got off the trains in between, you know, people loading in and loading out. But had a stove in the front room of the store and a stove in the back room. They burnt coal because the trains would drop the coal off there for them. A well in one room where we get our water. The good old outhouse, you know, there was no inside bathroom. But I loved it.
That's a really fond memory, it sounds.
Oh, it is. I mean, I tell my kids about it, you know, and they're like, ooh, you know. I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, myself. I think it's really, really, really rich. When you were early in your teens, is that when you started to actually pick up an instrument and think about singing?
It really started with me probably just writing, like, poems. You know, I don't know, my mind just always would find a way to take things going on and just write poems. And then I was just always around music. I mean, from everything from bluegrass gospel to heavy metal. I mean, I had four brothers growing up. So the oldest one is 10 years older than I am, and they go 10 years, 8 years, 6 years, and then me, and then I had a younger brother. And so, you know, my oldest brother was listening to Motown, Lionel Richie, the Commodores. The brother next to him was probably more like Neil Young, Crazy Horse, and Skinner, and then my brother closest to me was the Metalhead. And then my dad was strictly, you know, George Jones, Conway Twitty, Merle Haggard, that kind of stuff. So it was all around me. And I just kind of gravitated toward the George Jones stuff. I call them the big three, Jones, Conway, and Merle. That was my thing, so. Well, I ain't a free bird. I don't like to fly. I like to stay grounded, looking up at the sky. I don't like to ramble, and I don't like to roam. No, I like you and me, the love we share at home. I need a simple kind of love, no need to hurt. Dog in the front yard, the kids and you. I don't need a nice car, Lord, I got this old truck. I just need your love and arms and a simple kind of love. Well, I need a simple kind of love. Thank you, Pat. I was about 11, maybe 12 when I first kind of figured out, you know, I might have some kind of ability to sing a song, and so I started putting tunes to my poems I'd written. I didn't pick up a guitar till I was 15.
Tell me, you're writing poems. What 8, 9, 10-year-old is writing poems, and how did that happen?
I don't know. Well, here in a minute, we'll play you a song that I wrote when I was 12 years old, and that I was kind of taking what I was hearing. You know, I mean, I was hearing George Jones sing about, you know, losing his woman and drinking and all this stuff, and that was kind of what was going through my mind, you know, and just kind of living, I don't know, maybe my own little, as weird as it sounds, fantasy world through that. But, you know, just whatever. I mean, my girlfriend didn't like me anymore, you know. This girl I like doesn't like me, whatever, you know. And if my heart got broke over it, I'd go home and write a poem about it.
Sounds like a very healthy thing that you actually used a poem as an outlet for yourself.
Yeah.
So that's very, very neat.
Yeah, I mean, I still do it today. I mean, you know, if there's things that I need to work through or whatever, I'll sit down and put it down in a song. And that way I can put it down and I can get it out and it's done.
Well, you got a great ability to turn a phrase and to sort of turn a phrase upside down, which is kind of neat. And do you feel like you picked that up from listening to other great songwriters?
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of that is the Jones part of it. You know, I just always thought that he was probably the absolute greatest country music singer that I'd ever heard. And, of course, later on, you know, people like Keith Whitley were a big influence. I mean, where I lived at and was raised at, it's only like 20 minutes from Sandy Hook where he was born and raised. You know, so, yeah, the guy that got me, though, really was Conway Twitty. And I was about, I don't know, 14 maybe the first time I saw him. And I didn't go see him because he was there. I didn't even know he was there. We were in Maysville, John's hometown. It was the Judds, Exile, and Conway Twitty. And Conway was the guy that closed the show. And so we'd sit through the Judds and the Exiles, you know, and Conway comes out and nothing. I mean, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't make anything. You know, he just comes out, "Hello, darling." And this place goes nuts. And I'm looking and you know, all the women are going crazy and everything. And I look around and I'm like, man, this guy's got something. And then maybe 3 years later, I went to see another guy, Randy Travis. Mm-hmm. When Randy came out, was a big influence. So I went to see him. Well, again, I didn't know, but he was merely opening up for Conway Twitty at the Charleston Civic Center. Same show, did the same exact thing. I turned around, I told my uncle, I think my uncle Bill took me to that one, and I told him, I said, that's who I want to be. I love Jones, I love Haggard, but I want to make people act like he makes people act. And so he's just been my, I don't know, my go-to guy. This next song, I wrote this song when I was 12. The inspiration for this, weird enough as it is, was my mom and dad's divorce. And like I say, I always thought different, I think, than most 10 or 12 year olds do. And you hear the song, it'd be obvious that I did, but I don't know. I've always felt like I was an older person than I actually am. I can tell by the look on your face that you're gonna leave. Too many heartaches that time can't erase. Too many lies you just wouldn't believe. I can't blame you for leaving, but I don't want to set you free. And I love you, stop believing, and it's all because. You know, this time she's really leaving. Well, I guess she just got tired of being done wrong. I can see now that that old saying's true. You just don't know what you've got until it's already gone. I can't blame you for leaving, but I don't want to set you free. And I love you, stop believing, and it's all because of me. But what if I said I loved you, and I promised that I'd change? Would it keep us from falling apart? And I know you've been hurt before. Lord knows I'm to blame. But I never was much good at matters of. And matters of the heart. Yeah. I throw my money on the bar and I tap my boots on the floor. Well, I'm a good time addict and I'm always hungry for more, more, more. Yeah, long-necked bottles and long-legged women. I like a long pole. That's my ideal of heaven, living in a honky-tonk world. Living in a honky-tonk world, loving all them honky-tonk girls. I'm no stranger to a ballroom fight. I get my tan from a neon light. Well, I got a jacked-up Chevy truck, number 3 on my glass. I'm no race car driver, but I do have a checker. Yeah, 3 feet on the column, the fist on the floor. I could not ask for more. That's my ideal of heaven, living in a honky-tonk world. Living in a honky-tonk world, loving all the honky-tonk girls. I'm no stranger to a ballroom fight. Get my tan from a neon light. That's right.
Coming up, more Red Barn Radio with George Moulton, recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with more from George Moulton after this break. This is Red Barn Radio. We'll be right back.